Good morning, family. What I have for today, I thought, would kind of work us into Hanukkah, into the spirit of it, into the maybe a better realization of what it is, what it means. Hanukkah is all about light as opposed to darkness. And we're not talking about physical light and darkness, we're talking about spiritual. So God reveals in the beginning, very beginning of the Torah, Genesis 1, 1 to 4, that when it was time to create the physical universe part of his creation, he already had the spiritual part, but he created the physical universe. And then right away he introduces, he reveals this spiritual light and this spiritual darkness right away. This is what he said. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. See, we're not talking physical. We're talking moral, spiritual. The light was good. Tov. And God separated the light from the darkness. So already the war is on. And then to give us some deeper understanding of what's this light? John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. It tells you, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, the creative Word of God. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. So the living Word, Yeshua, is the light that is good. And it is against this light that the darkness always tries to fight, always tries to extinguish it, always tries to distort it, always tries to rip it out of our minds and hearts. All sorts of ways he has to do that. And Hanukkah is always those few that will continue to make sure that light does not go out in our minds and hearts and in this dark world. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend, did not understand, could not get around it. Then Revelation 21, clear at the other end of the Bible, 21, 22 to 25, it says, he's looking at the end, the way it's going to be. John says, "I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb." See? Yeshua is the light. The Gentiles will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Now pay attention to what Yeshua, when he was walking the earth, said to his disciples, those that he called to follow him. John 8:12 says, "I am the light," Yeshua says, "I am the light. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So life, what's the opposite of life? Death. So we got the world that doesn't have the Word of God as its proper head. That world is decapitated. When you're decapitated, you're the living dead. You're already dead, like a flower cut from its root. Looks nice, smells good for a while, but it's dead. That's the world. That's darkness. Separation from the Word of God. And then he says to his disciples, who he called to follow him, and in the new covenant in whom he is going to be living, he says to them, you are a menorah. Together we're a Hanukkah, the nine-branch candlestick. I am the servant candle, and I light you up. So therefore, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. This is Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way. Now he's telling you, this is not physical light. This light is your good works that shine and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So, to help understand the relationship between disciples or the people of God, the people who have the Word in their heart and in their life, the people that are the menorah of God, how does that work? What's the connection? What's the cord that comes from the electrical source to these people that are supposed to be the light in the darkness? I brought a little show and tell. This rod with two little balls on the end. What is that? Well, let's take a look. Let's see. We got something from the Torah. Numbers 17, 1 to 8. In the context, God has told Moses, I want Aaron to be the high priest and his sons. And other people in the community were grumbling. They got jealous. And they wouldn't listen to the word of the Lord. So it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and get from them a rod for each father's household, 12 rods from all their leaders according to their father's household. So every tribe had one of these rods or staffs. What is the significance of that? What did God give that to them for? Well, it says, you shall write each name on his rod, and write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi, for there is one rod for the head of each of their father's households. You shall then deposit them in the tent of meeting in front of the testimony where I meet with you. It will come about the rod of the man whom I choose will sprout. Thus will I lessen upon myself the grumblings of the sons of Israel who are grumbling against you. Moses therefore spoke to the sons of Israel and all their leaders, gave them a rod apiece for each leader according to their father's households, 12 rods with the rod of Aaron among their rods. And so Moses deposited the rods before the Lord in the tent of testimony. Now on the next day, Moses went into the tent of testimony, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms, and it bore ripe almonds. In other words, I said, this is the guy that's going to be the high priest. Supernaturally. Dig it? See? That. So, what is the rod? The rod is the eternal blood covenant between Almighty God and his people. And that connects them. It's like a yoke that brings two and makes them one. It's a marriage between the Word of God and His bride. And the Torah is the ketubah, the wedding contract between the two. So they'll know how to set up housekeeping and live together. So this is a sort of a vertical thing. We have horizontal contracts and covenants, but this is between heaven and earth, between eternity and time and space, between Almighty God and His chosen people. And any other people that will have the wisdom to allow God to graft them in to this root, this covenant root that binds God to Israel. And so that's what those rods are symbolizing. The rods of God in heaven reminds him of his covenant with his people. And the rod of the people on earth reminds them of their covenant with God. So you see, when you're one of those people, you have the realization tattooed into your brain, burned into your soul, that you're never alone. Wherever you go, your covenant friend goes with you. And when you understand that dynamic, you understand that whatever belongs to the husband belongs to the bride. And any issue and problem and difficulty that the bride encounters is the responsibility of the husband to deal with it and to be faithful to her no matter what it costs, even if it kills him. That's what Israel has to have burned into it, and anyone grafted into it. That we are one or echad with God. And God is echad with us. And we deal with everything, no matter what it is, on that basis. And so when we're truly connected, when we really understand this, and when we're taught and trained, and we've been through covenant boot camp, we're ready to enter into the world, which is darkness, and allow him to come through his points of entry and his bases of operation on the earth, and the light can come through and pierce and penetrate and dispel the darkness. Hanukkah. When you understand that his life and his light is supposed to come through at the other end, through us, then you can understand what he was saying to his disciples when he said this in Matthew 7, 18 to 20. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree that's separated and radically independent, doing its own thing, it cannot produce good fruit. It's dead. It's decapitated. Dead things produce dead things. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. You can't kid yourself through this. You can't fake it. The supernatural manifestation of God's connection with a person will come through, and you'll see it. You'll experience it. You'll see the difference. And if it's not there, it's decapitated, dead religion. Let's take a look at Exodus 7, 8 to 12. God gives Moses a staff, a rod. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, 'Work a miracle,' then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a serpent. Well, that's pretty supernatural. So Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh, and thus they did, just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called for the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same thing with their secret arts. For each one threw down his staff, and they turned into serpents. Can you see the battle between dark and lightness? Between the serpent and the word of God? But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. That's a covenant sign. Don't worry, you're not in there by yourself. I'm with you. You do what I tell you. You deliver the mail I gave you to deliver, and I will back it up. See? The light from the kingdom of heaven, from the word of God, has to come through into this demon-possessed world, this dark place, and his light has to come through his disciples. And it's got to be for real. It can't be just theological and theoretical. It cannot be lip service. It's got to be for real. There's got to be some supernatural fruit. That's the church. That's Israel. In Psalm 23, remember that famous psalm that they always read at funerals? David, what did he have in mind when he said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me"? You see what he was saying? I'm so glad I'm connected to you, Father. I'm so glad that wherever I go, you're with me. I'm so glad that even in your throne, I'm with you. And down here, where I'm being hounded by soldiers who are trying to kill me, you're here with me. And I remember the covenant, and it comforts me. Thank you, God. Revelation 11, 1 to 2 is talking about a judgment. It says, "Then there was given me a measuring rod like a staff. And someone said, 'Get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. Leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles.'"